Welcome to Community, a Green Valley Baptist Church podcast, where we hope to make the church the hub of the community once again.
I'm Pastor Don from Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and I'm sitting here today with our associate pastor, Pastor Brandon Knuckles. Pastor, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey guys, I'm Pastor Brandon, and I'm the associate pastor of youth and families here at Green Valley Baptist Church, and just really excited to be here with you today. And I know many of you who are listening probably know Pastor Don and myself. Maybe you don't, but if you don't, when you look at us, you probably wouldn't look at us and see two guys that are recording a podcast. But yeah, here we find ourselves, Don.
Yep.
We find ourselves recording a podcast. So to you, why do you think we're doing this?
Well, I think, Pastor, it's important to join the church and the community together. I think it's important that we build relationships with the community. And I think you, and when we were talking earlier, I think you had a good point about why we need to do this. And so why don't you go ahead and share that?
Sure. Well, I think we just want to make sure that we build relationships and we get out into the community and get to know the people in our community. And so Don is a pastor. He's from New York originally, for those of you that don't know. And so Don's got a lot of relationship building to do around here. But I've been blessed enough to be raised here, and I've still got lots of relationships to build as well. And when we look at the church, and I've not been associate pastor here but about 3 months, and in my short time here, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Lebanon Youth Basketball and to talk to them about some of the parents over there and some things going on with their kids, and many of them had shared with me that they didn't even know that the church gym existed here. And so I think that we just want to make the church to where it's building relationships with the community again, and there's a bond built between the two. Mm-hmm. Is there any other reason, Pastor Don, that you might see that we would be doing a podcast today?
Yeah, I think it's important that people understand that the church should be the hub of the community, the centerpiece. You know, when God created the world and he called his people out of Egypt, he had the Israelites build a tabernacle.
Sure.
And he put that tabernacle right in the center of all the camps. Three tribes on one side, three on another, three on another, and three on another. And I believe what we can see in that is that God was saying to his people, I want to be the center of your lives, and your lives need to be centered on me.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when, you know, I just look at our church and I see when we look at the Apostle Paul and we find that when he was sharing the gospel there in the marketplace, we see that he was not there with intentions to share the gospel over in Acts 17. And he didn't leave the church within the four walls of the building. He made sure to take it farther. And even though he was there and waiting on his buddies, he shared the gospel. And so I've actually got that word here with me, Pastor Don, if you don't care, and I might share that with us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. That's Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 21. And it says this, Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, What will this babbler say? Others some, He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know that this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And so, when I look at that scripture, Pastor Don, I see a man in Paul who was waiting on some friends to carry on the mission that he had set forth. Mm-hmm. And in his waiting, he saw a need and he shared the word. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I just want to see our church be able to reach into the community and reach beyond our four walls, mm-hmm. and to be able to be in the marketplace daily like Apostle Paul was, mm-hmm. sharing the word.
Yeah. You know, Pastor, when I think of this, I think of, you know, the scripture said they spent time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And I think in the world in which we're living today, people not only want to hear a new thing, but they want to hear a real thing. They want to hear a true thing.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people today are searching for truth. And that truth, of course, we know is found in no other place but in Jesus Christ and God's holy word.
Absolutely.
And yet in this pagan world in which we're living, I think it is a strange doctrine today, hard as that is to believe. It's hard to imagine America, and especially our communities, that have become the mission field of our day.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, many people who are listening here today might remember as a little child learning that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." But somewhere along the way, life happened. And we've forgotten to allow our light to shine. And in doing so, the church, the community has moved away from the church, when the reality is the community should be moving ever closer to the church. But I think you bring out a good point. There was Paul just standing there waiting on some buds, and his buds hadn't showed up yet. And the Holy Spirit prompted him. He saw a need, and he met that need.
Sure.
And what I learned in that is that Paul was being Christ in the moment God had supplied for him.
Absolutely.
And I think each and every one of us, as neighbors, as community members, we ought to try to be Christ in the moments God gives us, whether it's down in Walmart, Virginia, or Pat's Country Diner, or right down there in the streets of the community. But we ought to be a reflection of Christ in our community. So what else do you see in this?
So to me, I think that, like, similar to what you said, we see the church, and we see that the churches in our community have kind of just became another building. And there's not the significance there that there needs to be, that there once was. And if we were to go to the scriptures and look, and we would find all the different churches that were named off certain places. You have the church of Ephesus, and the church of Corinth, and the church at Crete.
Yeah.
And we have all these churches that were named after places and locations, and we have a similar thing today. We're Green Valley Baptist Church, but the difference is, I think, is then the churches were the centerpiece of the communities in which they were in, and so you didn't have Apostle Paul just writing to another building. You had Apostle Paul writing to a city, because the city was significant, and the church was significant in that city.
Well, you bring up a good point. When you think of cities and churches, you're talking about people. People are what make churches. People are what make cities. People are what makes the community. And I think Paul had a great love for people. And so when he wrote letters, even though he named those cities and those places, he was writing to people.
Sure.
And it's the relationships we make in life, the people we meet, to hear their stories. You know, I'd ask you this question today. What's your story? What brought you into ministry?
Sure. Well, when I came into ministry, I kind of felt the conviction for some time and the draw to it, and kind of ignored it for a couple months. And God kind of made my life miserable. But as time went on, and I had talked to God that if he opens the door, I'll walk through it. And sure enough, it wasn't a week or two later, he opened the door, and there I found myself walking through it. And as he's continued to lead, and he's moved me from Corinth Baptist into here, and I find myself in a much different ministry, and now being the associate pastor of youth and families, a ministry that I really wasn't all that familiar with. But God led me there anyway, so I'm certain he'll equip me in that. But it was a tough transition at times, even now, to try to move into that kind of ministry when I've had a whole different mindset before.
Right.
But when I consider the excitement of just what's going on here in the church and the different things, I'm really excited for where our church is going, and I think you are too. And maybe you could share a few thoughts of some things you're excited about.
Well, I'm excited because right now, We just finished a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting for Operation Heal America. And, you know, we need a movement of God. Absolutely. In this world. You know, Washington, the community, you know, God didn't call on them. He called on His people. And God said if His people would humble themselves and pray. And so we have undertaken that. We took God at face value.
Yeah.
And we've seen God do some amazing things here in the church in this past month. You know, three of those things is that God brought three young people to salvation in Christ.
Sure.
They've now repented of their sin. They have a home in heaven. We're going to be celebrating a baptismal service, so I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
Here coming up on February 20th. We have a couple parents who are going to be dedicating their children to the Lord, and so that's exciting. You know, as we've going into this year, we didn't have the television ministry in the church budget, and with nobody saying a word, over the course of 2 weeks, all of the money came for the television ministry that will see us through not only all of 2022, but through January of 2023.
Yeah.
And so God has moved. I've heard stories of spiritual warfare and some battles that people have had to undergo and how they've seen the hand of God moving in their lives. You know, and I think about my own story. You know, I used to be a professional horse trainer. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh.
But I used to train horses professionally, and I got called late in life. You know, when I graduated high school, college wasn't for me because you couldn't put a bridle, you couldn't put a bridle or a saddle on that and ride it.
Sure.
You know? And but just to show you the sense of humor that God has, you know, He used the field of horse training to train me for the ministry.
Yeah.
And at the age of 40, you know, God called, and I knew it was the call of God, and I had to answer the call of God on my life. I'd seen God move in many ways.
Sure.
Throughout my years of training horses, and you know, then to top that off, you know, I've always enjoyed God because He has a sense of humor, and in God's sense of humor, He first moved me to from Western New York, where I used to live 60 miles south of Buffalo, down to Burke, Pennsylvania, just an hour and a half from State College, and was down there. It was a whole different lifestyle. But then He moved me to the northern neck of Virginia, and that was a whole different lifestyle as well. But then, you know, to be here now in southwest Virginia in the Bible Belt, well, it's been an incredible experience.
Sure.
To see how God has moved and
sure.
To see the different things that God has had His hand upon. But, you know, I think, too, of my coming to know Christ as my Savior. I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, when I was 13 years old, I guess I had a temper problem.
Right.
And, you know, I had my horse cross-tied in the barn, and we had a German Shepherd dog that was very jealous of horses.
Yeah.
And that German Shepherd dog, while I was attending to the horse, jumped up in the air, grabbed a hold of that horse's ear, believe it or not. And you know what goes up is going to come down. And down he came, and it tore that horse's ear wide open. And so, you know, I was angry with that dog. And I'll tell you, I picked that dog up, and I threw that dog as far as I could up the driveway. And, you know, I'm still angry at that dog for, you know, doing what he did to the horse. So I picked up a rock, and I threw it at the dog, and I missed. And I thought, well, shoot. I picked up another rock, and I threw that rock as far as I could. And, of course, that dog, you know what he did? He took a left-hand turn, ran right across the back of the house, and I threw that rock right through a brand-new $400 plate glass window that my daddy had been working two jobs to pay for. Of course, it's going back quite a few years now. And, of course, I knew I was dead. And so, you know, when you know you're dead, the first thing you do is run.
Right.
So I saddled that horse up and put the saddlebags on it, ran to the house, got all the cans of bean soup I could find and crackers, and ran back, put them in. I had no idea where I was going. But I took off, and I rode out to the end of the farm, which was 20 acres away, and I was sitting by a stream. Now, unbeknownst to me, while all of this was going on, my sister was in the upstairs window of the house. And you know what little sisters love to do.
Surely
they
not.
Love to tell on their brothers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was sitting there on a rock. The sun was shining, and You know, I didn't know where I was going at that time, but all of a sudden the sun wasn't shining any longer. And I didn't have to turn around to know my daddy was standing behind me. And I thought I was dead. And, well, daddy did something that I didn't expect. He crawled up on that rock beside me. He just sat there, which only made it worse. Right. He didn't say anything for the longest time. And then finally he spoke and he said, you know, son, people make mistakes in life. And he said, I made mistakes in my own life. And God forgave me.
Sure.
Now, I was a church kid with a drug habit. I was drugged to the church every time the doors were open. But as Daddy talked to me, he began to share with me his testimony of how he came to know Christ as his Savior. And I want to tell you, Pastor B, it had a big impact on my life.
Right.
And what really makes this a great, true life experience is that, you know, we hear a lot in church about the grace of God. Well, I got to experience both mercy and grace.
Sure.
Because my dad was merciful to me. I deserved a whooping, and I didn't get it. This is going back to a time when times were hard. 50-some years ago, if you got to go to McDonald's, it was a big-timey deal back then.
Yeah.
You know, today anybody goes to McDonald's every day. But back then it was a big-timey deal. It was something you did after church on a Sunday. And this was on a Tuesday, and Daddy said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the farmhouse, put the horses away, and then I'm going to take you to McDonald's to celebrate your stupidity, and don't you ever do it again.
There you go.
Well, that was grace. I received not only his mercy, I didn't get a whooping, but I also received his grace. Yep. I got rewarded when I didn't deserve to.
Yep.
Well, you know, what a wonderful picture of the grace of God.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, that makes me really think of something that happened here a few weeks ago. When we started our 40 days of prayer and fasting, Pastor Don had one of our deacons, George Monk. You had him build a couple crosses.
Yes.
Up in front of the
yep.
Pews there in the church. And for those of you that are listening who haven't been here, they stand on both sides of the pulpit. And Pastor Don, you have them crosses up there, and you've put some little papers there and some pins mm-hmm. and some nails and some hammers. And
yep.
you said, anyone who wants to bring their needs, their prayers up to this cross and nail them to the cross, do so. And, you know, when you said that, I didn't really think a whole lot about it when we first were doing it. And we got up into the church on that first Sunday, the 40 days of prayer and fasting. And I just so happened to felt the need to kind of lead by example and got up and had a need and went and wrote it down on the paper and took it to the cross. And
mm-hmm.
Still wasn't thinking a whole lot about what the significance of it was.
Mm-hmm.
And when I picked that paper up and took that nail and drove that nail in there, it made a loud thud sound. And the only thing I could think about was the grace of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how all the grace he has given me, even though, like you said, with your story there,
mm-hmm.
you didn't deserve it.
Nope,
you didn't
sir.
Deserve to go to McDonald's, but nope. you got rewarded.
I did.
But the Lord's the same way. You know, he's yeah. rewarded us even mm-hmm. though we've not deserved it.
Right.
And so every time that there's been a nail drove into a need on that cross, I think of this, the gift that he's given us when he hung on the cross and mm-hmm. died for our sins.
You know, that's been one of the most incredible things about this time of fasting and prayer that we went through, is the people that came and nailed things, their strongholds, they're now free from it.
Yeah.
People that they're praying for, loved ones that they prayed for, they're more fervent in their prayers, more now than ever before.
Yeah.
It's changed lives because of a simple act of really understanding what Christ did from us on the cross,
sure.
for us on the cross. And I think about what you said, just that simple act of grace to be willing to lay there and to take those nails driven, to let his blood be spilt for our sins, that we can receive the forgiveness of all the sin of our past, present, and future, and to know that we can be free in Christ. You know, I would say to anybody listening, if you're struggling with a stronghold, you just need to turn that over to Christ, because his power, his grace, and his mercy is, it's priceless.
Sure.
There is no need for anybody to live a defeated life or to live with a stronghold. You know, and again, it goes back to the relationships that Paul, he was sensitive. And I think about that because if we're sensitive, we can be Christ in the moments that God gives us. And when you read that scripture, what stood out to me is that, you know, people need to know truth, but they need to know that you care about them.
Absolutely.
You know, someone once said that people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the areas where the modern church, if you will, has failed. We have become so busy doing things, mm-hmm. but we have failed to truly care for souls. And, you know, if you go and listen to somebody's story, what does the simple act of listening convey?
It just gives us the opportunity to be able to understand where they're at and where mm-hmm. where they're living and the things that are going on in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a big deal when we are grown close together enough to where we can bond over each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got, Katie and I have a couple friends who we are able to rely on them to share
mm-hmm.
share the things going on in our lives. And Don, I'm sure you've got people like that too who
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're able to just share whatever's going on.
Right.
And there's no judgment, there's no cruelty, there's no harshness with mm-hmm. the replies, but just understanding and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a wonderful, wonderful time to be able to have those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a church, we need to be able to build some more of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this podcast hopefully is going to give us an opportunity to be able to go out into our community and to build some relationships with mm-hmm. some people. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get to share the gospel with some people while we're doing it.
I hope so. But, you know, I think when we talk about listening, it's listening with empathy.
Sure.
It's listening with seeking to understand where someone is coming from. You know, the one thing everybody wants is to be heard. You know, and there are people today who think they won't be heard, so they won't speak up, they won't
yeah.
speak out. But just the simple act of being in the community and listening to somebody's story.
Sure.
Even if they have questions about Christ or the church or they don't understand certain things, man, what an opportunity to just open up and hear where they're coming from,
yeah.
to try to understand their context is just such a blessing. But, you know, I think, again, when we think about why should the church be a part of the community, you know, we've hit on the fact that all churches needed to be the centerpiece of the community. But I think when we talk about the church being the centerpiece of the community, you know, when you're physically sick, you go to a hospital
yeah.
to see a doctor that they might prescribe something for you. But the church is in the business of what? Spirituality.
Sure.
Of life itself, of those things that are so deep beyond our emotions, those things that affect us, that cause us pain, that cause us emotional turmoil, or those things that encourage us and bless us. And you know, every one of us has a story. We've all got a story to tell. You know, the story of how we are where we're at today, how we arrived there.
Sure.
We've got the story of the life experiences that have formed and shaped us. We've got stories of how, you know, the Christian will attributes their victories to God.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see where the hand of God has been in our lives, that when he's pulled us out of the fire,
mm-hmm.
and some of those trials are very fiery, you know, and they're painful is what I mean by that. Some of those trials are like shallow water, some are deep water, some are fiery trials. But God, he always sees us through. But I'd ask you this, what does the man of the world have, the man who doesn't believe in God? How does he get through those trials?
Well, see, that's the problem. I think that a lot of times they're just living and their minds are all over the place and they don't know where to settle and they're always uneasy. And, you know, for me, I was saved at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But through high school, I didn't necessarily act like I was saved
right. Sometimes.
And recommitted my life to the Lord when I was 18. But for those few months before I was 18, I just felt uneasy consistently
mm-hmm.
and constantly. And I think for those that don't live with Christ, those that live apart from Christ, They're just going to feel uneasy. Mm-hmm. They're never going to be able to find anywhere that they can settle. They're never going to be able to find anywhere that they can feel comfortable mm-hmm. because they don't have anyone to rely back on like we have our Jesus.
Right. Yeah, I think of that. You know, it's a no-peace life.
Yeah.
But yet the one thing everybody wants in life is just if I could have a little bit of peace.
Sure.
You know, you talk to most people want just a little bit of peace. Mm-hmm. But peace can only be found in Christ because we're always going to have ups and downs. Yep. There's always going to be highs and lows. There's always going to be victories and losses. You know, and even in death we can have victory.
Absolutely.
You know, through Christ our Lord. But I think about these things and I think of, you know, why the church, why the community? Mm-hmm. Why did God place his tabernacle in the center of the Israelite camp? Why does God put the church in the community?
Right. I think the community the church needs to be somewhere that the community can rely on, mm-hmm. Somewhere that is the main focus of the community, that mm-hmm. they know that their needs, just like we have the cross here at the church, mm-hmm. the people have been nailing their needs to. When people have a need, when people are hurting, when people are feeling alone, that they have somewhere that they can come and they can meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when we take the church out of the center of the community, when we make the church just another building within the community,
right,
we have turned it into just this optional scenario where it doesn't matter if we have mm-hmm. a need, it doesn't matter. No one knows where to solve those problems at.
Right.
Because the church isn't the centerpiece anymore. It's not the focus.
Right.
And so where do we go? Well, no one knows.
I think you bring up a good point when you said optional, and I thought of the word accessory. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the world today, we've learned to accessorize.
Sure.
And unfortunately, for far too many people, they try to accessorize Christ.
Yeah.
Instead of Christ and his word being the center of their lives, they're trying to carve out a portion of time for God here and there.
Yep.
It's kind of a hit and miss. It's a scattergun approach.
Yep.
You know, instead of taking a direct aim or building my life on a solid foundation, too many today are building their lives on the sand so that when life happens, the sudden death of a loved one, the loss of a child, the loss of a job, a broken relationship, you know, it could be a myriad of different things.
Sure.
But then their life was suddenly in an upheaval. And if they've never built their life on anything solid, they're always living, if you will, on shifting sand. You know, the one thing that gets us through life is the solid rock, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the bedrock upon which we should build, and that's why the church should be the hub of the community.
Absolutely.
Every community needs a hub. Every community needs a solid foundation. And when we think of our lives in community with one another, we need to be Christ in the moments we have with one another, that we can encourage one another to be building our lives on the solid foundation, which is God and His Word. You know, as we talk here, Pastor B, something popped into my mind, you know, the Bible teaches this, and I believe it. Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away.
Sure.
When I stop and I think about that, the only place that we can ever have any total structure, peace, foundation, solidness to our lives is in God and His Word, because it'll never pass away.
Absolutely. So. I think, too, when we look at the church being the centerpiece of the community, I think maybe the American church has failed the community.
Oh, without a doubt.
We have built this church, you know, not us in particular, but the churches in America have built churches that are just built with the, like you said, the thought of being an accessory,
yeah,
an option. Mm-hmm. You know, used to, and this is not all that long ago, and maybe you could attest to this some, but used to, it wasn't like that. Used to, when you looked at churches around, and the church was a significant part of the community, and I mm-hmm. think of the church that I came from before I came here at Corinth Baptist, mm-hmm. there in Council, you know, the history there of that church,
mm-hmm.
and they were built there with as really the only church that was a Southern Baptist church, mm-hmm. very close, and they were a centerpiece in the community. And of course, as time kind of went away, people kind of left that. But the churches in America have forsaken our call to be the center of the community.
Yeah, we've really built, if you will, some great facilities. But facilities that have become cold and distant to a community and its needs, because we, the people, have not been willing to be Christ to one another.
Sure.
We, the people, have seemed to not have time for one another. You know, we, the people. Well, it's we, the people. Every community is made up of people. But every community needs people who are willing to care and to listen. And for the church, I believe, to become the hub of the community, you've got to have like-minded people, like-minded Christians, each using their different gifts that God has given them, their different personalities, to just be someone who cares, who dares enough to care enough to share enough.
Sure.
You know, and I think we really see that in the example that you gave from the scripture that you read earlier of Paul. Now, Paul, as he was waiting for his buds, he could have not cared.
Yeah.
He could have said, you know, it's not my job. I'm too busy. I mean, they're going to be here in a minute. We're going to be on our way, so I don't got time for this today. But Paul was sensitive.
Yeah.
He had an empathy for people. And he saw they had a need. And Paul said, I can meet that need.
Yeah.
And I think if every one of us is honest with ourselves, we have more time than we think we have when we allow God to direct our time. And it only takes one little act to just listen to somebody's story.
Sure.
You know, to listen to what they're going through. And that just says you care.
You know, I think, too, you know, we always talk about the church as being someone who has... we've kept it in the four walls, is how we always say
right?
Well, that's true, but I would even maybe take it a step further. I think maybe a lot of churches maybe haven't just kept it in the four walls. But we've locked the door and said, you can't come in.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's a scary thought. You know, when I had the opportunity, and of course you know this, and some of our listeners probably will, but I had the opportunity to visit Montana a few months ago. And we were up there on an Indian reservation in Montana, and I had the opportunity to meet some wonderful pastors and some wonderful people while I was up there. And while I was up there, one of the pastors that we met with shared with me that there's churches up here who are on this Indian reservation, but they won't allow the natives to come into the churches that are up there because it's not a native church. And
wow.
That just really convicted me and made me think sometimes maybe I think the churches have locked their doors.
Uh-huh.
We have locked it up and said, not only are we keeping it in here, but you can't even come in here and find it. And that's a scary thought for me.
It is. And again, it goes back to what we've talked about, the lack of empathy, the lack of willingness on a lot of people's parts.
Sure.
And I think it would do the church well. You know, there's a lot of wonderful people in our churches, but it would do us all well to ask ourselves the question, you know, do I put into practice the things the Bible teaches? You know, when you put it into practice, it makes a world of difference in your life. And I think we've come so far to forget that no matter what circumstance we're going through, God has still called us to shine our light, whether we're up or whether we're down.
Sure.
No matter what we're going through, we need to remember that God is in control. He's allowed these things. And I think one of the things about modern society as a whole is we've become kind of thankless. You know, we're not a very thankful world. And, you know, I think about that and I think we've become envious, jealous, a society of complaining and griping.
Sure.
Why? Because we've taken our eyes off of what's really important. We've allowed Satan to distract and deceive us. And I think of Eve in the garden, you know, there she was. And there were a lot of trees she could have ate from. But Satan got her distracted to focus on the one tree she couldn't eat from, and she began to complain and gripe and wonder and all of those things. And I wonder how many of us have trees in our lives where God has blessed us with a lot of blessings, and yet we're focused on some little thing that we don't have. And, you know, we go around and we gripe and we complain about that. I think it would do us well to all ask ourselves the question, what might be the tree in my life that is causing me to miss being a thankful person? You know, because think about being thankless, being a complainer and a griper, it kills everything.
Yeah.
You know, it kills our relationships, it kills marriages, it kills homes, it kills careers, it kills our virtue, and any other thing you care to imagine. It could be a myriad of things. But there is a verse in the Bible that comes to my mind, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. You know, there's a song we sing in church called Count Your Blessings and Name Them One by One. And I think if we spent more time counting the blessings that God has given us, more time being thankful and living with gratitude, we'd find we'd be more like Christ. Can you just imagine what would happen in the community if every member of a church began to live with gratitude and thankfulness for what God has given them?
Yeah.
And not be so concerned about what God hasn't given them. I think it could revolutionize a community.
I think so too. So I really think that we've kind of addressed the need here of why do we need the podcast? Why do we church want to be a part of the community? Mm-hmm. And so I want to kind of talk to you a little bit, and I know you want to talk a little bit about too. Kind of some of the fun stuff we're going to be doing on this podcast, and mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I know we've got some people that we're looking at maybe interviewing, and we've got some different things we're looking at doing. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it would be good to hear from some small business owners in the community, you know, to think about some of their experiences, some of the things that they're dealing with and going through. I think it would be good to hear from, you know, the fair board. You know, the community is a wonderful place to be. You know, we have a wonderful community here. You know, I think you can learn a lot from small business owners. I'd like to hear the person on the street. I'd love to interview a person on the street and just hear what their thoughts are of the community.
Sure.
And, you know, whether they've lived here all their life or not. Maybe they're new to the community. Some of the challenges that they are facing. Love to be able to interview somebody or talk with people about some of the what they perceive as the issues in the community.
Yeah.
You know, what could change?
Sure.
You know, love to talk with some policemen to hear about, you know, their experiences and some firemen and some of the first responders. Love to talk to, I hope we get to talk about church history here from folks who've lived in the community, whether it be somebody from here at Green Valley or some other church, you know. But I think there's a lot of things that we hope to be able to accomplish with this podcast. You know, I think too, you know, it's good to talk about, you know, what we have going on here at Green Valley Baptist Church.
Yes.
You know, and so, Pastor B, what are some of the things that you have going on with the youth? What are some of your goals and dreams for the youth of our community?
So one of the things that we're going to be doing here soon is we're going to be going on a tubing trip to Winter Place, and I'm really excited for that. So, Pastor Don, really my God kind of convicted me of how I wanted this ministry and how he wanted to lead it. And as he kind of led it in my heart, he kind of showed me that he wanted to be the centerpiece of everything.
Amen.
He didn't want me to squeeze him in or to try to come up with the next best program or the next best event to put him into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited for the opportunity to go on to this trip and to make sure God's the centerpiece of it and to make sure that his word gets to be shared on our trip. Hopefully get to give maybe some of the kids some opportunities to do that. We've been able to give the couple of the kids some opportunities to teach in our youth lessons.
That's awesome.
Maybe as I prepare here to preach here in a week or so, they're going to have the opportunity to get to do some announcements and things within the church service. And so I'm really excited to challenge them and to see where God leads in that regard. But I'm just really excited for the direction that God's taking us, the direction that God's taking the church, the youth group, and this podcast as well. And I know that it's going to be, I like your words there as far as interviewing people, and I really look forward to the opportunity to get to hear some other perspectives.
Yes, sir.
And so sometimes I think we close ourselves off.
Oh, yeah.
And we like to live in our own little world, and we never listen to what anyone else has to say.
That's right.
And so I'm really excited to get to hear what some other people have to say.
I think it'd be a good question that you say when we get in our own little world is to ask ourselves the question, how well do we listen?
Sure.
Sometimes we think we're listening, but we're not listening at all.
That's correct.
You know, I think it's every husband's fear when his wife comes and says to him, what did I just say? Because we haven't been paying attention.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think it would do everybody well to just consider how well do I listen. But, you know, I'm excited about the direction of your ministry, of the church here. You know, we're seeing more kids coming out to the youth group, which is exciting. I think it's been great. You know, one of the cool things that you did was invite all of the teams from the cross country in for a big dinner.
Yep.
And, you know, that was exciting for them.
It was.
Because I don't know how often they really get to celebrate their season.
Sure.
You know, a time of thankfulness and joy just to know that, you know, God got us through this season and all of its challenges. You know, some of the things that they had to learn, and that was a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
But I think, you know, we're excited. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be having a baptismal service here in a couple of weeks. I know you're going on a snow tubing trip this coming weekend. You know, when I think about that, too, we may be familiar with one another, but what are some of the ways you're going to try to get the kids or the leaders who are going to learn something new about the other person?
So I think we just have to make sure that we're willing to go and talk to the other people. And part of that, I think, is going to be just trying to get people out of their comfort zone a little bit. And maybe, and I've not decided completely on this, but maybe we're on our bus ride down, we'll stop halfway and switch seats and go sit with someone we don't know. But I'm really excited to get to see where God leads in that trip. And like I said a minute ago, I don't want it to just be something that's going to be fun. I want it to be something that's going to be fun, but we're also going to grow in it. Our leaders are going to grow and our students are going to grow. And somewhere that we have the opportunity just to get to know each other a little better, bond a little better. And so we talked about the relationship need in the podcast, and I think it's the same thing there. There's a need for relationships. And so often in our world, we see where people just go and grab their cell phone, and they pick up their cell phone and live in their own little world. And every time there's a moment of awkwardness, they go to social media or wherever else. And it's sad that we live in a world where people can't do what you and I are doing right now.
Right.
They can't sit in a conversation and just talk to each other.
Just talk.
And so, you know, I've always said that you can replace a lot of things with technology, but you'll never be able to replace the need for just a relationship one-on-one.
That's right. And the greatest relationship we can have is the relationship we have with Christ and then one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's been good to talk today.
Been wonderful to talk. I appreciate you and the conversation we had, and looking forward to where the church is going and the direction of everything. For those of you listening, we're really excited to bring some guests on and to do some other awesome stuff. Really looking forward to seeing where God leads us. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to Community. If you want more information about our church, please go to greenvalleybaptist.church or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Green Valley Baptist.